If you would, turn with me to John chapter number 17. John chapter number 17. Last week we began a series that I've titled Vocabulary of Victory. We're looking at vocabulary words, words that are important to know, words that I am just of the belief that every Christian should know. And I believe they are words you've probably heard over time. Some of them you might be more familiar with than others, and you might readily have definitions for and understanding, but I think it's good that we study these. And so it's interesting, this week, before we had chosen the songs, I'd already picked the topic. We had started with justification and thought it'd be good. Just a second here, something's going on. Well, we'll let it go on. I thought it would be good after justification to follow it up with sanctification, as the two are closely related to one another. And wouldn't you know it, then, as the song we just sang, yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Wouldn't you know it, whoever had penned this, they realized the great words of truth and how important they are to sing about them. And so this song, that's why it was chosen tonight, it fits so well with our topic. John chapter 17. Tonight, as we begin here, and we're going to learn, what does sanctification mean? Really, sanctification means to be set apart under God. To be set apart under God. It's really an attitude of treating or regarding something as holy, something or someone. And tonight we're going to read from John chapter 17. Now, this isn't really the text we're going to preach on, although I will allude to it in a little bit here at the beginning and then a little later. But this text of the scripture tonight, I believe, is foundational for us to get into this topic. It's the words of Jesus. And the words of Jesus, he has just spoken to his disciples, and we see this prayer. We understand his heart, his passion, even his desires for them. And what is it that he wants for them? We begin in John chapter 17. I begin reading in verse number 15. I'm going to read all the way through verse 19. Listen to this prayer that Jesus had. John 17 and verse 15, he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. But what a wonderful prayer of Jesus. He had prayed for them to receive sanctification. He prayed for them to be set apart. Even with the word he says of himself, he's saying, for their sake, I consecrate myself. It's the same thought, the same idea of separation and being set aside. We also get the idea of holy. These words work together. And as we can be assured that this was the prayer of Jesus for his disciples, I believe that this is also the prayer that Jesus and God has for us, that we would be sanctified in truth. As we are earnest about sanctification, we surely, it must be our desire that we would grow, that we'd be sanctified to be like Christ. Oh, but how do we do so? And tonight we're looking at, what does it mean, this word sanctification? What does sanctify mean? In actuality, we could do an entire series on sanctification. How does it happen? How is it accomplished? Why is it necessary? In fact, if you look at my library, I have several books that are just on this topic alone, sanctification. And so this is something tonight that we could get into really deeply. But I understand our purpose here tonight is that we're trying to understand the word. What does it mean? How can we, as we look through the Word and we'd find this on our own, how do we apply this? And so our purpose is focusing on the understanding of the Word. So we're laying a foundation. It's important as we lay this foundation that we come to an understanding, that we be aligned in our thinking to understand what is sanctification all about. And tonight I present just three basic truths, three things to help us to understand what this word is. First of all, when we talk about the word sanctification, we need to know what does it mean? Really, here's what it means. I gave you a simple definition earlier, to be set apart under God. Let's broaden that thought. We mean, when we say sanctification, specifically something that is common, something that is used legitimately for ordinary purposes, but it is taken and it is set apart for God's purposes. The ordinary being used for God. Something ordinary, something common, something you could say is every day, it's taken and it is dedicated or devoted to, set aside or set apart for the purposes of God. For example, it could be something ordinary. You could say it could be as ordinary as a bowl or a fork. It could be a shirt. It could be a tent. It could be a musical instrument. It could be a day of the week. It could be a specific family. In case you notice, these are things that we actually see in Scripture that were set apart for God. Even a specific city. In other words, very common, very ordinary daily life things that are set aside for the Lord. That is essentially the idea behind the meaning of the word sanctification. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about purification of sin, although we do get into that, the getting sin out of your life. Simply put, sanctification is taking something ordinary and giving it over to God. Throughout the Old Testament, we see this in several ways. We see God the Father setting things apart for himself. Hey, if you think back with me to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, I'm going to put this on the screen for us, but we have to think, what did God do in creation? I don't normally do this on a Sunday, but since we're in no hurry to get back for any sort of sporting event, let me do this for a moment. What did God do in Genesis chapter 2? That God, what can you say that God set something apart in creation? What did he set apart? Evening and morning. Were you going to say something? Can you think of it? All right. Well, let's look in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 3. I'll put it up on the screen. It says, then God blessed the seventh day. And this is in the NASB. It says, and sanctified it. The ESV, which I normally preach from, says holy. It's the same idea. He sanctified it because on it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Do you see the picture there? We know the story of creation. 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. 6 days were common days. The seventh day was a special day. It was a day that was set aside for rest. A day when mankind, they weren't to work. They were to set it apart and they were to focus on resting, focusing on serving God, their creator. So God took an ordinary thing, just a day of the week, and set it aside for his purposes. We could go a little bit further. In Exodus chapter number 3. In Exodus chapter number 3, God had said to the Israelites, as they were to leave Egypt, that they were to consecrate or to set apart their firstborn. He says in Exodus chapter, I said 3, I meant 13. Exodus 13 and verse 2, sanctify to me every firstborn. Now, this was talking of the firstborn son, even the firstborn cattle. The firstborn was to be set aside for the Lord. You know, in my family, I am the firstborn son. That would mean that I would have been set apart from my siblings. I have two sisters and a brother. I would have been set aside from the other children and devoted to God. We could go even further. The Jewish people, they worship God in a tent or a tabernacle, if you would. It's ordinary. If you've ever been out camping, there's nothing special about a tent. But here was this. It was set aside for what? For the worship of God. Eventually, there was a building, a temple, that was more permanent. But again, it was set aside for the worship of God. Everything in the tabernacle or the temple was used for the worship of God. The utensils, the silverware, the plates and the instruments, all of the altar, the vessels, all of these were set aside for the Lord. Hey, even think about this. We come to the 12 tribes of Israel. Did God set aside something for himself in the 12 tribes of Israel? Don't be shy. Anybody know? What did he set aside for himself? The Levites. A specific family within the 12 tribes. They were devoted for sacred purposes. And you see, we could go on and on and on. Ordinary things. The tribe of Levi, it wasn't that they were better than the tribe of Judah or the tribe of Benjamin. But God said, I'm setting them apart for my purposes. In Joshua chapter 20 and verse 7, there were six cities in the land of Israel that were set apart. They were called cities of refuge, where one could flee there. They were set aside as a protection. They were set aside for the Lord. And so throughout the Old Testament, the word for sanctify means to set apart for God. Really, it was set apart for holy uses. And this helps us to understand then what Jesus was, the Bible speaks of Jesus being sanctified. Even as we had looked here in John 17 and verse 19, or verse 18, he says, you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself. He had set himself aside for the Lord. Why? So that we could be sanctified. Goes even further, Luke chapter 2 and verse 22 and 23. And Jesus was born. In the New Testament we have, he had just been born. And it tells us in verse 22 about Mary, and after the days of her purification were complete, according to the law of Moses, it was accomplished that they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord. And what happens? Right in the very next verse, verse 23, it says, this is actually a quote from the Old Testament. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And Jesus himself, when he was yet a child, a baby, was devoted. He was set apart from his parents to God for God's purposes. And what is it that happens in his life? If you start to trace his life, the next time we see Jesus, how old is he? He's 12 years old. Where was Jesus? The temple. You remember what happened there? He is 12 years old. He is in the temple, and his parents leave the temple, and they leave, and Jesus stays there. And they eventually realize in their travels, Jesus isn't here. And they go back and they find him. They ask him, why did you do this for us? And what did Jesus tell them? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know I have been set aside for this? I have been sanctified. I have been consecrated for this. You see, Jesus understood that he was devoted to God. And so tonight, as we're reading in John 17, we come to verse number 19, when he says, "For their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." The Old Testament and the New Testament is bringing this idea of sanctification together, that just as Christ was set apart for the purposes of God, we too need to be set apart for God, whatever he would have us to do. As we dig in this, I wonder, could it be that sometimes we don't live for the Lord because we have not realized that no matter who you are set aside for his purposes. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the missionary or the Sunday school teacher. It is every single one of us who has been set aside for his purpose. And that's motivation. It's why Paul could say in Romans 12:1, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is your spiritual worship." Instead of saying holy, he could have said sanctified, set apart for God. You see, this dedication to God is not some miserable decision. It's not like, man, if I'm going to go into the ministry, boy, this is going to be, I'm giving up everything. I'm giving up football. I'm giving up close to family. No, it's a motivation. I get to joyfully realize and experience that I am fully his. That's the idea of sanctification. What does it mean? It means to be set apart unto God. That was number one. Number two this evening, the second thing is about sanctification, is that sanctification is really, it has the idea of an attitude. An attitude, that is, sanctification means to treat or to regard something as holy. All right, so first off, it literally means you to set something common, set it apart for God's purposes. But it also secondly means to treat or to regard something as holy. Let me illustrate this for you tonight. If you would come to my house, you might be able to find out a couple things. Number one, my boys would tell you the recliner in the living room is Dad's. All right, it's mine. Poor Cameron, he complained to me just the other day. He says, "Dad, every time you come in and I'm sitting in the recliner, you say, 'Cameron, get up, I'm going to sit there.'" All right? They understand it's mine. Well, it's not only mine. I let them sit there. I don't care if they sit there. They can sit there when I'm not there. However, we also like to play video games. We like to play the PlayStation. And we've had several controllers over the years. We've ruined several over the years. And eventually, I got tired that I would get down to play, and all the controllers stunk. They had glitches. They were sticky. They were scraped up. And so a couple years ago, I don't remember who got it for me, but I got a nice white PlayStation controller. And I didn't have any other white ones. We had black ones, blue ones, camo ones, whatever color. But I said, "Boys, this one's mine. You are not allowed to use it. You are not allowed to play with it. You are not allowed to touch it. It is mine and mine alone. I've had this for a year, maybe 2 years, and the boys would tell you still, that white one is Dad's. Even if I'm not home, unlike my recliner, they cannot use that controller. They are not allowed to use it. Why? I don't want them to ruin it. I don't want them to drain its batteries. I want, when I'm ready to play a game, I want that controller fully charged. I want to know that it's in good shape and that none of them have done anything to it." You get the point? All right, it's mine, it is nobody else's. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means that we treat something as if It is set apart. We treat it as if it is special. We treat it there is nothing like this. And now the Bible speaks of many examples of those who did not treat God in such a way. They didn't sanctify him. They didn't consecrate him. They didn't treat him as holy. Think with me, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we come to the two sons of Aaron. Their names were Nadab and Abihu. And Nadab and Abihu, they were both priests. And the story tells us they got drunk, and they went and they offered a sacrifice to God one evening. As they offered the sacrifice to God, though, they didn't use the fire and the coals that God had told them to use. Instead, they used a different kind of fire. Maybe you've heard this term. It was called a strange fire. Not what they were told to use. And now we're not exactly sure what it is they did, but they didn't follow the regulations that God had given them. And you know what happened as a result? There, as they offered this sacrifice with strange fire, God responded by what he did. He burned these two brothers up. And then we find out what God says in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. He says this, "Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. I will be set apart." They had failed to treat God with humility. They had failed to treat him with reverence and obedience. And because of that, they were punished. We could sum this up then in one word: holy. We set a sanctification means to set something apart as holy. That is how we are to treat God. That is how we are to approach him. There are other illustrations in the Bible. There was a time where the Jews, they were complaining to Moses, and they're complaining they had no water. And so Moses went to God and told him about it. And God says to Moses, "I will provide water from the rock, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to speak to the rock." All right? He was told just to speak to the rock. The previous time he had hit the rock and the water came out. This time God said, "I just want you to speak to the rock." But he went to the rock, and what did he do this time? He hit it. Not just once, he hit it twice. He did this in his anger. He hit the rock. And do you remember what God does? Oh, God still gave them water. He supplied water. It comes gushing out of the rock. But because of this, Moses did not get to enter into the promised land. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, we hear why God said this was to be. He said, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel." You did not show respect to my name. When we talk about sanctifying God, about being sanctified, it is the way that we respond to God, to his word. It's the way we respond to his preaching and his teaching. It's the way we respond to how he is leading us. That is the point. It's instead of being like how Moses was, or these two priests, it should be more like what we hear prayed as we're taught to pray: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Do you know another way to say hallowed? Those who work in good news, you know this one. It's holy, sanctified, set apart be your name. You see, if we to be sanctified, yes, it means that you are set apart, but it also means, as a believer, that we have reverence. We have respect and honor. We have adoration for God, for his name and his purposes. It's speaking of the way we live and the way we conduct our lives. We approach God differently than the rest of the world. Finally, number three, I told you there was just 3 points. Sanctification not only means to set something apart or to treat someone as holy, but it also means to actually purify or to make holy, to make it really and actually holy in your life. To purify yourselves. Peter said, "Be ye holy even as I am holy." Now, he was speaking of the Lord there, and it was the work of the Spirit of God. We've been reading in 1 Peter on Sunday mornings. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it tells us, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit." You see, it is God who is doing the work in you. It is the God, the Holy Spirit, that is within the Christian who is setting you apart for His purposes. It isn't us. It is God who is setting us apart. And Jeremiah says it this way. He says, "A new heart will I give them, a right spirit will I put within you." You see, God does the work. God sets us apart and is the basis of how we live. It all begins when you are born again. Sanctification begins with the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And this is so important. Justification that we looked at last week is declaring us righteous. That is God's work in us. That's God's work for us. Sanctification is God's work in us. It's the fruit, if you would, of justification. God declares us righteous, and now He is using us. He is setting us apart for that righteousness. It's the evidence of a new life. We are not the same. You can't be separated. You can't separate justification and sanctification. They go together. You can't break them apart. When you got saved, you should be growing. When you became a believer, you should be changing. The two go hand in hand. There's no such thing as a Christian who has never grown. That doesn't exist because they go together. All spiritual change is done by God. It is a progress that happens in and throughout your life as God is working in us and through us. And perhaps then you're asking the question, then how does this work? How does this happen in my life? Well, we obviously understand that it's all God. But I really want us to think about this. And I think you probably already know the answer. How does God sanctify us? How does it work? Well, it starts through the same process, through the same agents of sanctification. It's all God. It's the things we have been talking about. There are really three things we can see. The first one we can understand is that it's the Holy Spirit who is working in us. In Galatians chapter 5, where we get the fruit of the Spirit, but before we're told this, it's telling us, walk in the Spirit and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then if you are filled with the Spirit, there are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, this is sanctification. This is the Spirit who is working in you. And not only is we have the Holy Spirit, we have the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our sin. What do we see elsewhere in Scripture? If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need the Holy Spirit that is working in us, and we need the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then right back in our passage where we began today, John 17 and verse 17. What does it say there? Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. God is working through His holy word. In order to be set apart for God, In order for him to use you for his purposes, you need three things in your life. You need the Holy Spirit, you need the cleansing blood of Christ, and you need his holy word. I think we can put it this way. If these things are not a part of your life, you are not being sanctified. If you are not a Christian, you have not received the cleansing blood of Christ. If you are not a Christian, you do not have the Holy Spirit living in you. You may be in the Word, you may be reading the Word, but in your sin they're going, it's not changing me. Well, it's because you had one of them, but not all three. God works through his Word, but it's the Holy Spirit that is illuminating. It's the Holy Spirit who is guiding and directing us. So sanctification is for believers. You are set apart for God. You are to treat God as holy, and then we are to be pure in our lives. Allow God to change you. When we recognize that as a believer, we have this special place, a special purpose, then we would allow him to change those warts, to get rid of those filthy rags, to allow him to prune and work through his holy word. We need to allow God to make the changes that each and every one of us need. Friends, sanctification is a wonderful thing. When I sit here and think of all that we have talked about tonight, I can't help but think of in Scripture when I'm like, man, what would it have been like to see the temple? What would it have been like to see all that went on with the tabernacle? What would have it been like to be with Jesus Christ? What would it have been like to see this burning bush and to be on that holy ground? And I see all these wonders, and what we are learning today, God says, yes, Matt, you are ordinary, but you have been set aside by me for something better. I don't know what God has gifted you with. There's many of you. I may know what some of you are, but I won't know all of you right here, right now. I don't know what God's purposes are for you down the road. But I do know this, if you are a Christian, God says you are mine. And we are to give ourselves to him. Treat him as holy. Allow him to use you in any way that God sees fit. Let us pray. Lord, tonight, in such so little of a time, Lord, we have considered another wonderful word. Last week it was justification. You have declared us righteous because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, now this week we can see sanctification. We have been set apart for your purposes. God, would you use this church? Would you use this body, this people, for your purposes, for whatever it is, Lord? If it means taken out from the midst of us to plant churches somewhere else, Lord, take us. If it means, Lord, that you are going to use our talents, our gifts, our finances, Lord, take them. Whatever it is, Lord, may we be surrendered to you, to your will and purposes. Yes, Lord, sanctification surely means that we need to be pure. And we need to wash ourselves from our sins through the blood of Christ, that we need to come to you and seek forgiveness, that we need to live for you each and every day. But Lord, may we see and treat you as holy as well. Thank you for this wonderful word. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff, would you lead us?
Stand as we sing.